All right. Happy Sunday, everyone. Woo! I like that the Californian weather are back. You know, the sun and the warm. I love it. So today, I'm going to continue on our series in the book of Hebrew. The theme is He Speaks. Before I start, I want to give a little background about the book of Hebrew. Some of you might know, but I think it's just good that we are on the same page in terms of what the book of Hebrew is all about. And this is one aspect of it. So the book of Hebrew is written to the urban first century Christians. So urban means city. So people who live in the city, this is a Christian community in the early time. They are struggling with fear and discouragement because their lives are filled with trouble and suffering. So this is, you know, around 2,000 years ago, but I think it's still true today, right? People, I mean, there's a lot of good thing now, but at the same time, there's still a lot of people who are still filled with fear and discouragement because of the trouble in their life and the suffering that they go through in life. And the author of Hebrew, you know, speak about this at length, and if I can summarize in terms of what he is trying to say to those people who are going through suffering is this. Now, do not grow weary, but keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. So if this is like a short summary. So this is the book of Hebrew. And now go to the verses that we're going to read today. It's from Hebrew chapter 2. So if you want to open your Bible, you can open Hebrew chapter 2 from verse 14. Let me read this for you. Now, since the children, this is us, since the children share in blood and flesh, he, Jesus, likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Again, this is talking about us. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Again, because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Now, can anyone guess what's going to be the topic of this, my preaching today? Testing? Huh? Suffering, yes. So, the title for my preaching, the theme for my preaching today is suffering. And I know we rarely talk about suffering. I mean, when you come to church, you expect to hear some, you know, elevating good news, fun, happy, but I think it's important to talk about suffering is because suffering is part of life. I know for a lot of us, especially a lot of you are still young, you know, you don't think about suffering and you might not have gone through a lot of suffering, but it is real. As much as we wish, you know, that it doesn't happen in life, that it's only out there, as much as we hope that it doesn't happen to us, I think we all go through life difficulty and suffering in life. I mean, after all, who never get disappointed in life? Who never get sad and rejected? And I know, I guess for young people, if I look back, one of the crushing moments in my younger years is being rejected by a girl, right? Back in like high school, that's like, oh man, I'm rejected. I feel so bad. I feel so sad. I just cried. Not cried. I was just in my room and then turning on the music loudly. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is suffering is part of life, and it's important for us, especially in the church, to talk about it and to understand how to go through suffering, how to deal with suffering, and that's kind of the topic for today. Now, in the Christian circle, I want to start with this gossip, a hot gossip, or a myth, you might say, and it goes like this. So please look at the slide. Gossip goes like this. If I am, fill in the blank, enough, so if I am good enough, if I am obedient enough, If I am spiritual enough, if I minister enough, if I am faithful enough, whatever it is, then God will keep me out of troubles in life. And again, if I am good enough, if I am obedient enough, if I am faithful enough, then God will keep me out of troubles in life. Now, I just want you to ponder a little bit and think whether this is true or not. Now, let me answer with this story. There was a man who lived a life for a number of years in this earth. He was so good. He was so devoted to God, so obedient. His will is to do God's will. His mission is to glorify Him. Now, if such a man exists, wouldn't you think that he will live a happy life? He will live a good life. He will have a happily ever after life if this is true. Right? I mean, after all, he's so good, he's so obedient, so devoted to God. And the reality is, he died at a cross. He was betrayed by his own friend, rejected by his people, mocked in public, and died at a cross. So that is the reality. So this is, of course, this is just a myth. This is a lie. You know, let me tell you that you don't get a free pass of life difficulties just because you're a Christian. You know, you don't get a free pass of suffering because you're a Christian. And God never promised that. But He did promise that He will walk through the suffering with you, that He has overcome the sin and the suffering and the brokenness in this world. Now, the reason why, you know, I spend some time about this is because I want you to know that I heard this from a pastor. He said like this: if you don't expect tears, if you don't expect suffering, then when you cry, you'll always be crying about two things. You'll always be crying about two things. You'll cry about the things that makes you cry, and you'll cry about the crying itself. You'll be asking, why does this has happened to me? Like, why me? Why now? Why my family? Why my son? And why God let this happen? You know, and when that happens, that's just crushing. You know, when you go through a suffering and has to bear that extra burden of wondering why this has happened to you, why God let this happen, it will crush your soul. And oftentimes, this is what we do. And I did that myself when I go through a difficult time. I remember I was praying. I was like, God, why me? Am I not good enough? Am I not loving you enough? Why did you let this happen to me, to my family, to my son? And so it's important for us to have, you know, a good perspective in life, a clear perspective in life that, you know, life in this world, this temporary life, you know, you'll not have a happily ever after. But God will be with you in that difficult time and in your suffering. So I'm sorry if I start my preaching, you know, in a down, sad story, but I think the good news is, I believe as a Christian, we can persevere, we can go through suffering better. I believe as a Christian, we can go through difficult times and do not fall to despair. I believe as a Christian, we can hope, not in vain, but we can truly hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I believe that going through suffering will make us stronger, more loving, and more trusting in God. So that's the theme of my preaching today, and I want to start with a story. I don't know if anyone have heard about this. If you take psychology, maybe you have, maybe you have not. So it's a sad story. It's a murder of this woman called Kitty Genovese. I don't know. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name correctly. This happened way back in 1964. She worked in a bar in New York. She left the bar around 2:30 a.m. in the morning. I mean, she left late. It's not a good sign, right? Whenever you see in the movie, if someone left very late, it's not usually not a good sign. So she left very late. She drove her car, parked at the parking lot near her apartment. And between that parking lot and her apartment, there are around 100 feet, 30 meters distance. So she has to walk through to get to her apartment. And then as she walked, she realized there is a man following her from the back. So she started running, but unfortunately, the man was faster, and he got her. He stabbed Kitty twice in the back, and then of course, shocked Kitty shout very loudly. This is in the middle of the night when everything's quiet. She shout loudly and say, "Help! Help! God, please help me!" And the man was a bit startled, right? And then he noticed that there are few lights in the apartment that turn on. And then, you know, there's even someone who opened the window and shout, "Hey, get away from her!" So of course the man, you know, was startled and was like, "Okay, what's gonna happen? Is some people gonna come down and, you know, hit me or like whatever?" So he decided to run back to his car. It's in a different place. So he ran back. He waited on his car. He waited for a few minutes, just observing from afar. And he noticed, though, no one came down. Kitty was still there. She tried to get close to the apartment, but then she fell down, probably because of the blood loss and everything. So Kitty fell down from the entrance of the apartment, but no one came down. And so this man, I don't know what he's going through his mind. Maybe he say, "Oh, the deed's already done. Might as well I complete it." He walked back. He stepped few more time. He stepped Kitty few more time, and he stole the wallet. And then later on, sometimes later, the police come, the ambulance come. But by that time, it was too late, and she was die on the way. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this story is just, it's a tragic story. But it shows us how sometimes people are not willing to help out. People are not willing to risk their life to help someone else. They're not willing to come down and be part of these dangerous situations, right? They can see from afar. They can maybe shout from afar. But no one is willing to came down and to help Kitty. And the reason why I'm saying all those things is because that is not how God deals with us. If you remember back in Hebrew 1, Kojef, you know, talking about Hebrew 1, you know, this is kind of the summary, you know, talking about Jesus is the eternal Son through whom God created the universe. He is the radiance of God's glory, heir of all things. So he is God, glorious majesty. And in Hebrew 2, we read how he's willing to come down. He's willing to go through all what we're going through all the difficulties in life, through all the suffering in life. You know, he shared our human frailty, though without sin. He experienced temptation, suffering, and death, the most cruel death. And thus, he is able to help those who are being tempted in suffering. So our God, you know, despite how powerful, how grandeur, how majesty, he's not just God who's looking from afar. He's not a God who's just shouting from afar like, "Hey, Aaron, man up. I know this is tough, you know, but man up." You know, sometimes we do that with our friends. Like, "Come on, you're a man. You can go through this." Sometimes we belittle others' suffering, and I made that mistakes too. But God is not like that. God came down and he helped us, and he go through what we go through. So I only have three points on this preaching today. So the first one is Jesus understands our suffering. No. Because he himself has suffered in being tempted, he's able to help and provide immediate assistance to those who are being tempted and exposed to suffering. He knows what it means to be poor. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be exhausted. What it feels to be betrayed by your closest friend, to be mocked and rejected, to be unjustly punished. He knows and he understands what we feel and our difficulties. And I just want to say that it is safe for us to come to him with all that we are. You know, we don't have to put a mask when we worship. We don't have to put a mask when we pray. I mean, we can come to him with all of our emotions. We don't have to pretend that we are a good boy, we're a good Christian, and, oh God, everything is fine. But truly, we are suffering inside. Now, we can come to God because he knows what it means to be human. He knows what it feels to cry. I mean, Jesus cried multiple times. He was even prophesied the suffering servant, the man who grieves. He knows, man of sorrow. He knows what it means to be sorrowful. So do not be afraid to come to him with who you are and what you are feeling. And if you read the book of Psalms, you will see a lot of examples there on people of Israel and are suffering and need help, and they are, you know, conquered, and like, their family member was killed, they're in famine. All those things you can see in Psalms. And the second thing is that not only he understands our suffering, he shares the burden of our suffering. So I put a verse there from Book of Acts. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now you might think, I mean, if you are not familiar with the story, you might think that Saul, you know, literally hurt Jesus, but that's not the case. If you read the Book of Acts, this happened when Jesus already died, he already rose again, he went to heaven, and the apostles start to evangelize, to share the good news, and Christianity began to spread. And there are, of course, people who doesn't like that to happen, and one of them is Saul. So Saul start persecuting, start killing Christian, and this happened on the road to Damascus, right? Saul was going somewhere, and then Jesus kind of stopped him on the way, and he asked Saul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You know, as a Christian, we are called as his body, the body of Christ. So Christ has so identified with us that our suffering, in a way, he bears that as well. You know, Jesus can say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You know, it just shows how much sadness he has when he saw his people are suffering, when he saw us suffering. So you are not alone in your suffering. You know, God is with you in your suffering. Because sometimes when we go through difficult times, all we need is just someone there for us. I remember, again, back on my college day when I have to broke up with my 4 years old girlfriend. I'm not 4 years old girlfriend. I'm 4 years old relationship. I don't date toddlers, okay? I had a girlfriend from high school, and then I went to U.S., she went to Australia, so after a year or so, you know, after 4 years of relationship, we decided, I think, you know, we're just going to go through a different path of life, so we broke up, and then again, back then, you know, still young, doesn't know a lot of pain and suffering, it's like, oh man, so sad, I'm so lonely, and all I asked of my friend, just, hey, can you come over? And just stay in my apartment in Northridge, you know, come to Building B. I live in Building B. I still live in Building A at the time. And then, just be there and just, you can do your homework, you can study whatever. You know, because sometimes when we go through difficult times, We just need someone to be there with us. And the good news is, as a Christian, it's not just that God with us in our suffering, but we have everyone here. We have our brother and sister in the church. And I want you to look to the left and to the right and say, come to me when I, you know, go through difficult times. I know it's weird, but I hope you get my points, right? We are here together. And I want to emphasize what Fabio said earlier. The church is not a collection of holy people. The church is a collection of broken people who needs a savior. You know, so it's okay to be sad, it's okay to be broken, it's okay to share your burden in life with your friends, if you want to, with care group members, or maybe with pastors or with the other leaders. It's okay to share your difficulty in life. You know, because sometimes, especially as men, you know, you who consider yourself man, we have pride. Like, I'm a man, I can handle this. You know, I'm a man, I need to man up. You know, I need to kill my emotion, I need to go through this. Coolio. But, you know, if you read psychology, you know, that is very bad. You know, because at some point your emotion will blow up and it will just, you know, just error out. You know, we need to be able to be willing to vulnerable with one another. And I really hope that you can also be there when one of your friend, one of your care group member going through a difficult time. And you don't have to know what to say to them. You don't have to have a solution for them. Because sometimes all they need is just your presence. You know? So this is the good news, that we have God and we have one another when we go through difficult times. But even greater news is that Jesus has transformed our suffering. He has conquered death. Right? In the book of Hebrews, the authors said, through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death and been subject to slavery all their lives. Through his death and resurrection, God has conquered evil. You know, let me be clear that this world, with all its brokenness, is not what God originally created. It's when we decided to turn away from God, that's when man decided to sin and find and be his own God, that sin entered the world, that suffering entered the world, that brokenness entered the world. And as I said before, God is a God of mercy and love. He doesn't leave us in this brokenness. You know, he came down not just only to empathize with us or to know how difficult it is to live as a man in this broken world, but he conquered death and he conquered evil and he won. And so there is hope for us. You know, for Christian, you have to know there is always hope, and our hope is not in vain, because we can anchor our hope to the fact that Jesus has risen again. We can anchor our hope knowing that there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. There is going to be something better. Even if it's not in this life, it's going to be in the life to come. Because you know what? Because when Jesus rose again, he is restoring this world. You know, and I know we are in this between time, in between time. But then there will be time when God will come again, when Jesus will come again a second time, and he will restore this world. He will create a new heaven and new earth. And in the book of Revelation, it's described as if we are in this wedding feast when there's laughter and joy and wine and food, and you know, everyone are so joyful to be in the presence of God. There's no more suffering. There are no more sickness. There's no more crying. And this is our hope. That is our hope. And that's why as a Christian, you know, we don't have to despair despite how difficult it is that life came at us. And just to summarize, so as I said, I just have 3 points. How to suffer as Christian, right? Because you might not suffering right now, but I truly believe you'll need this later on. Because, you know, one thing I know from life is the older you get, it's not the easier life will be. So enjoy your time. I'm still enjoying my time. I'm still consider myself young. But, you know, try to remember that, you know, when the time comes, you know, you are not alone because God is with you. And God knows what you're going through. And he understands it. And knows that there's always hope. And there's always better futures that we can hope for. And I hope that, you know, through this, you can came out stronger. You can came out more loving. You can came out more compassionate towards others. Because the suffering has shaped you, has strengthened you, right? A gem cannot be polished without friction, nor a man perfected without trials. I know I'm not talking why God allow suffering and other things, but I just want you to know that there is a purpose in the suffering. There's something you can get from the suffering. And perhaps when you look back, you also realize how yourself changed when you go through difficult times. Right, whether it's a loss of family member, whether it's sickness, whether it's just unfortunate situation, you know that when you go through it, it makes you stronger, it makes you more human. And as I close, I invite the musician to come. As I close, I just want to say that, I mean, it's my wish that you can remember that 3 bullet points, but I know, at least from my experience, when you are in the low point of your life, you wouldn't remember any points. I mean, you are overwhelmed by your emotions, you are overwhelmed by your sadness, and you will feel like, man, I'm in this dark, dangerous jungle by myself, trying to protect myself. It's scary. I'm overwhelmed with fear, and the world feels like never gonna get better. It's not gonna get any brighter. It's just going worse and worse. And you will not remember anything I've said. And when that happens, I hope that, like the author of Hebrews said, that you just look at the cross. Just look at the cross. Because when you look at the cross, you will realize that your suffering is not just a random event. Your suffering is not just a cruel joke by some higher divinity. You know that when you look at the cross, suffering is real. When you look at the cross, at the same time, you can see that God is there and knows your suffering. When you look at the cross, you can know that there is hope because Jesus has conquered death and has promised us eternal life. When you look at the cross, we can persevere in our suffering. And I pray that as we all, you know, at some point of our life, when we go through difficult times, we can be a witness through the way we suffer. When the early church started, there are many people who are killed. There are many people who are suffering. And yet, they suffer strongly. They show their faith in their suffering that people can see, like, wow, what faith these people have. You know, I pray that, you know, when you go through suffering, you can be a witness. And you can bring glory to God. And let's just close our eyes to pray. Lord, what a wonderful God you are. A powerful, yet tender. Glorious, yet merciful. God, you hear our cries. You hear our brokenness. You hear our sadness. And you came down God, you're not just observing from afar. You're not just shouting from afar, but God, you came down and be with us. And God, you have sent your Holy Spirit to be with us and to give us strength so that we can go through this difficulty in life. We can go through suffering in life with you. And God, you have given us this church. You have given us these people in our life so that when we go through difficult times, we can have one another. God, such a wonderful God you are. I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you for your love, that you are willing to die at the cross for me, for us, and you are willing to bear the burden for us and to give us hope and to give us salvation. Thank you, Lord. May our life bring glory to you. Amen. Let's stand up and worship him.